On this day, nearly 2,000 years ago, you and I, put the Son of God to death. This we did by our sins. It was the saddest day in the history of the world. This was all made possible by the divine plan, because our Lord and Savior was God and man. And so with his infinite mind, in which his human mind shared, he was able to know all the sins of all men of all times. And then with his perfect human body and perfect human soul and heart, he was able to not only know all of our sins, but he was able to suffer for them. Each of our sins he suffered for. And so we put him to death. Keep in mind that he was, as the saints say, he was able to suffer infinitely, being God and man. Not that God can suffer, but as man and God, he can suffer infinitely. And so the saints say that he not only suffered for all of our sins, but he suffered what we would suffer in payment for our sins. So imagine all of the reparation that we would have to make for all of our mortal sins. What kind of pain would that cause? And the saints say that he was able to do this, suffer for all these people for all times, exactly what they would suffer. Can't even imagine it. Might get some vague notion if we could think of what it would be like to have our friends torture us to death and then multiply it by billions. At the beginning of the ceremony, we have the prostration. It's a profound act of humility in which all of you share, because you are with us in spirit. And you can even do this for yourselves when you get into the privacy of your room at home. You can make the same profound act as an acknowledgement of our sins, that they were the direct cause of the death of God. An acknowledgement of our complete and utter dependence on the infinite mercy of Christ, our God. To show our nothingness and our sorrow, and especially as an act of pleading with God for his kindness, for his forgiveness, And what greater time? When was such an act of pleading more fitting, more necessary than our times? When the whole world sins so freely, all kinds of sins. Who could doubt that at every moment our Lord is offended because there are so many people now and they sin so freely, that at every moment our God is offended by billions of people? So you see what necessity there is for our pleading. The world is so blind, so malicious. And St. Paul says that sinners crucify the Son of God to themselves. So Christ is being crucified constantly. Over and over again we sin. Same sins, confess them, and then we make an act of contrition, and then we sin again. But it shows how much God desires to forgive us. Because not only can we be forgiven in an instant, the instant that we commit a sin, He offers of us grace of sorrow for our sins. That very instant, we can't be saved without that grace. We don't have an ounce of ability to be sorry for our sins without His help. Not one bit. How much He loves to impart mercy to us. And this was His sentiment on the cross. Because of His desire for our love. One of the greatest mysteries of the universe, how He desires our love. And so He gives us this grace to make an act of perfect contrition for love of Him after we have put Him to death. You know that this is one of the definitions of mortal sin. A desire to destroy God. That's what a mortal sin is. And so after this very act of an attempt to destroy Him, He gives us the grace to make an act of perfect love. Over and over. And even if our sorrow for our sins is less than perfect, still He wants to forgive us. And so He gives us the sacrament of penance, in which it is not necessary, although certainly advisable, it's not necessary to have perfect contrition or perfect love of God. He still desires our love. Even though it's not perfect. It's without end, His mercy and His desire for our love. The greatest of sins, no matter how bad they are, God is greater. He always forgives us. St. Jerome says that we will not know until last judgment all that Christ suffered on this day, starting last night. After we have made our model for our lives this weakling Pontius Pilate, we imitate him so perfectly because he knew exactly, just as we do, he knew exactly what his duty was. And he was such a weakling, such a coward, and so ambitious that he failed to do what was so clear to him. And that's you and me. How clear it is to us what our duty is, and how terribly we fail. Then, after the prostration, we have the reading of the scriptures. The purpose of this part of the ceremony is to remind us that this has been planned from eternity, the death of Christ, in all its detail. And so we read in the Old Testament, as you well know, so much of the detail of the suffering of Christ. So it was always from the beginning planned. This is the scripture. This is our reminder. And then we read, of course, the Passion of St. John. It's the most beautiful account of the death of Christ. We have it today, especially because St. John was the only eyewitness that wrote these things down. And so we see it through the eyes of St. John. And then after the sacred scripture, we have the center of this ceremony, the focus of everything, and that is the unveiling of the cross. We remind you, brethren, how ancient these ceremonies are. This day and Easter are the two most ancient liturgies in the church, the most ancient feast days, both called by the same name, the Pasch. So this goes all the way back. And we have records of much of what we do today, exactly some of the things we do. Right back to the second century, we have it's all written down. It's how ancient our liturgy is, what you and I do today. So we imagine that it goes to the apostles. Only day of the year in which there's no mass permitted. So we have the unveiling of the cross. And even though much could be said about this ceremony of the unveiling of the cross, we only want to remind you of this, that this beautiful liturgy of the cross is given to us, at least partially, to tell us that this cross is not only the cross of Christ, but it is ours. And you know, of course, we adore the cross, mostly because of its being soaked with the blood of God. But remember, the cross is ours. A great spiritual writer once said something like this, that at the beginning of creation, God made everything perfect. And he made it so that everything would lead us to love him. Always for love. Everything is for love. And then we sinned and destroyed the order of creation. So he gave us another gift. Since we would not love him freely through this beautiful work of creation that he had given us. And the great gift that he gave us was sorrow. And this is our road to heaven, since we would not take the other. This is a new one, and it's the only one since we have sinned. It's the only road, the royal road of the cross. All of the sorrow that God sends us, no matter if we bring it on ourselves or someone else hands it to us, it's all for love. And you know that no one is without this gift. No matter how rich or famous or powerful people may be, they all suffer because we are all called to love. You can suffer without the love or with it. It's your choice. It is the old science of alchemy. Remember, an alchemist turns everything, so to speak, to gold. And this is what we must be. We must believe in this great science. Alchemy is ours. Turn everything to love. All of our pain, everything that hurts us, it's all for love. And the last part of the ceremony is the reception of the Holy Eucharist. And so we tell you once again that there is nothing in heaven or on earth that anybody can do that is as great as receiving the Holy Eucharist. No matter how holy the saints were, they could not do anything better than to receive the Holy Eucharist. If it would be possible to separate heaven from our union with God, then it would be better to receive the Holy Eucharist than to be in heaven. Because the Holy Eucharist unites us so closely with God that, as we have told you, without losing our identity, we become God. We become one with him. It is as if we are one person. Not even the angels can do what you and I can do. And they are jealous, because no angel has ever received the Holy Eucharist. And we believe this may have been the exact cause of the fall of the angels, because they could not receive God as you and I do. And so we finish this ceremony with the reception of the Holy Eucharist. We receive our God. And when you walk back to the pew, remember that you should not need to walk, you should be floating, because that is how close you are to our Lord and Savior crucified. Nothing you can do will make you holier than this. No act.